Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Ephesians 4:11 to 12, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, I'm so excited in my spirit that following my father, Bishop Dagwood Mills, by the grace of God, has allowed me to teach things like this. Things that are not easy to teach for the whole month. You are not telling people you are blessed. You are not telling people you are approved. You are telling people God is calling you to work. I'm just laying a foundation still. Bring your mind to see the reality of God's word. Listen, the Bible says that this is the will of the Father who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Once you are saved, if you don't have the knowledge of the truth, you will never even know even why you are saved. Coming to the knowledge of the truth means that you get to know why you are even saved. What is the truth about your salvation? And the truth about your salvation, based on Ephesians 4:11 to 12, is that you are saved so that through you, the work of God can continue. That's the truth Satan doesn't want you to know. Satan wants you to believe you are saved, yes, for some of you. But to know the truth about that salvation is another thing. What is the work of ministry? The work of ministry is all about serving in the local church. Serving in the local church. Finding something to do in the local church, because Jesus is building his church. And the Bible says, and God added to the church those that were being saved. So if you are saved, you belong to it. You must belong to a local church. Now, when you are part of a local church, you become part of the body of Christ. And we saw last week or the week before that every part of the body has a function. So being part of the local body, the local church, means you are serving in a capacity. Isn't that what our Father came to do? Our Lord Jesus Christ came to do? Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus himself didn't come here to be served. You want to be served every Sunday morning. We must serve you the word. We must serve you the worship. We must show you the chair to sit. We must serve you everything. But look how different we are from our Savior. He says he did not come to be served, but to serve. To serve. Are you serving? Now, he says in Luke 22, verse 27, who is more important? The one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course. In the world, that's how it is. In the world, the one who sits at the table is the most important one. But listen to Jesus. He says, but not here. Meaning not in his kingdom. He says, in his kingdom, he says, I am among you as one who serves. He says, the greater will serve everybody. So in Jesus' kingdom, you are great not because you are sitting on the table. You are great because you are serving. And he says himself, I am among you as one who serves. I am among you as one who serves. Now, I would like you to be in that congregation. Amen. As one who serves. Amen. Not as one who is being served. Every week, you are being served. Every Sunday, you are being served. Jesus says, I am among you as one who serves. That's the work of ministry. That each one of us finds their place in the local church. Serving in a local church is a decision. you have to make. In the book of Judges, in the book of Joshua 24 verse 15, Joshua says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Serving God is a choice. Serving God is a choice. It's not something that is for special people. You can be in that church for 1,000 years expecting that, you know, like I've said in the first week, it's not about having big visions. It's making a decision. Joshua said to the people, choose who you want to serve. Choose. It's a choice. Listen, I'm not standing here because I chose to serve God. I chose to use my life to serve God. And you can also decide to know whom you're going to serve. You can choose to serve Coca-Cola. You can choose to serve this one or that one. Or you can choose to serve the Lord. I mean, I like what Joshua says here. He says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord with my children. I will serve the Lord with my wife. I will serve the Lord. It's a choice. I will. My will is involved. I will to serve the Lord. I will. I'm making a decision. I'm going to serve God. Listen, until you make that decision, you'll always be sitting on that chair. You will remain sitting on that chair until you decide, I will to serve the Lord. Will is not always about the future. It's the will. Exactly that. The will. I will to marry you. I will to serve. I will. I will. I will. My will is involved. I choose to serve the Lord. It's a choice. Maybe you didn't know. You are hoping that somebody has to come and tell you to do it. I'm telling you now, nobody tells you. You decide to do it. You make a decision. I'm going to use my life in this local church to use all my expertise, everything God gave me, I'm going to use it to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord in the local church is refusing to waste the grace of God that is on you. To waste the grace. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. Why wasn't the grace in vain? He says, I labored more abundantly. Anyone who is sitting in the earth, not laboring, is wasting the grace. The grace is being in vain. Paul is telling you what makes the grace of God to not be in vain in your life. Is that you start laboring. When you start working, the grace of God and his investment on your life stop being in vain. But if you are not doing anything, that's what it says. It says, the grace of God towards me was not in vain. Why? I labored. I worked. I worked. And he says, not I, but the grace of God that was in me. So you are sitting there. If you are doing nothing, the grace of God is just lying dormant there. It's being wasted. The days of waiting that grace are over this morning in the name of Jesus. I see everybody rising and saying, God's grace in my life cannot be in vain. I need to do something with the grace of God. I need to get involved in the labor. I need to get involved in the labor. Now, this morning, the title of my message is, you are called to help. You are called to help. You are called to help. Last week, I told you, you are called to be fruitful. You are called to help. I was just introducing it to you. You are called to help. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healing. Then, helps. Governments. Diversities of tongues. Now, we're focusing on that one. The Bible says, God has set. Do you believe that God has set apostles in the church? I'm sure you do. Do you believe God has set evangelists? I'm sure you do. But did you know that over and above that, God also set helps? There's an entire ministry that God realized was necessary for the church. He said, God has set in the church. In the church, you will have the fivefold ministry. You will have miracles. You will have healings. But you will also have the ministry called the ministry of helps. Or we call it the helps ministry. Say with me, the helps ministry. The helps ministry. And last week we saw that we are not all called to be apostles, we are not all called to be evangelists, but we are all called to help. The helps ministry. There's such a thing called the helps ministry. And God is the one who set it in the church. Now, you are called to help your senior pastor. That is what you are called to do. Now, if you happen to be at a Land Bible Church, let me not beat about the bush this morning. You are called to help me. That don't even start thinking too much. You are called to help me. If you believe in the verse I've just read, that God has established apostles, evangelists, pastors, and helps. Why am I saying this? In the book of John 10:16, Jesus says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd." Now I understand Land Bible Church has different branches. We are building one church, one flock, in many locations, but we don't have many pastors. It's one flock, one shepherd. No matter where you find yourself working, you are just assisting the main shepherd, because that's the flock God gave him. You need to understand this. No matter which local church you are working in, you are only assisting your shepherd or your local pastor there because he is assisting me. But in other words, you are assisting me rather. That should not be confusing to you. It's one flock, one shepherd. Not one flock, many shepherds. One flock, one shepherd. So the whole flock is geared towards the shepherd, to assist the shepherd in the work. Let's settle that one first before we go any further. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? So you are called to help your senior pastor. And you help your senior pastor by becoming helpful in the local church where God has planted you. The word helps in the Greek means antilepsis. Antilepsis. What does antilepsis mean? Number one, to relieve, to support. Number three, to aid, to aid, A-I-D. Number four, to participate. Number five, to partake. Now, if you were to reverse the verse we just read, God has said in the church, first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, four, miracles and gifts of healings, which is a summary of evangelists. Then, number five, helps. So, what is the job of the help? To relieve the work? To support the work? To aid in the work? To participate in the work? And to partake in the work? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Antilepsis. Antilepsis. Helps ministry. So God thought to himself, after I set all these things in motion, I'm going to need people on the background that participate. People that support. People that aid. That assist in the work. God has sent you to ABC not only for you to receive salvation, anointed messages every Sunday morning, blessed revelations and all these things. That we thank God for all the things that he's doing for you while you are here at ABC. But I would like to submit to you this morning, beyond the things that God is giving you while you are at ABC, God has also sent you in ABC for you to help. You are not only sent here to receive. You are here to help. You are here to help. I can't hear anybody this morning. And who are you here? You are here to help Pastor Pascal fulfill the vision that God gave him. You are here to help fulfill that vision. You are not here to pursue your own vision, and once your vision is fulfilled, you vamos. No, 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 no. God sent you here to bless you, but God also sent you here so that through you, his work that he has given to his servant will be able to advance. You shouldn't confuse yourself. You shouldn't confuse yourself. In the book of Habakkuk 2:2, we find that very clearly. The Bible says, "Then the Lord answered and said to me, write the vision down. Make it plain on tablets." So there's always a visionary. There's always somebody who receives the vision. There's always somebody who has to make the vision plain. But you see, there's another person that kicks in. The Bible says, that he may run who reads it. There are two people here. The person who receives the vision and the person who reads the vision. At ABC, I received the vision. And I've been making the vision plain for all of us. But then those that read the vision are the ones who are supposed to run with the vision. They are the ones who run with the vision. A person receives the vision, but he might not be the one to run with it. His job is to receive it, make it plain, make it easy to understand. And once it becomes easily understandable, it should be the responsibility of those who read it to start running, to start running, to start running, to start running, not to sit and just say, oh, it's a good vision. Oh, wow, we thank God for the vision. No, to run with the vision. The Bible says that he may run who reads it. He may run. Whoever reads the vision must find his place in the vision, must find his role in the vision, and must start running with his part to play in the vision. Brothers and sisters, I would like to submit to you. I'm going to preach very briefly this morning. I'd like to submit to you this morning. Your help is needed at ABC. It is needed. Maybe nobody ever told you this. Maybe nobody ever made you aware that you have something to do. But that's why this service came. All of us were sent here by God. God gave me a vision by his grace and his divine appointment. And he's been helping me make it plain. Building one church in many locations, locally and globally. Just to get that sentence, it took more than 5 years. Just to make it plain like that. Just to understand it like that. It took a long time. It took a long time. I can remember very well when God started the processing of helping me understand that what I was calling a vision was not a vision. Because it was not making people run. You always know it's not a vision. It's just good intentions. Because people read it and they don't run. It doesn't bring any fire in them. It doesn't set nobody in motion. But when we caught that sentence, building one church. It's one flock, one shepherd. Building one flock, one church. In many locations. Locally and globally. All of the sudden, many sons have started finding their place in that vision. And I would like to invite you to also find your place in that vision. There's a location awaiting you. There's a location for you. There's a location allotted to you by God's grace. Why is your help needed at ABC or any church you are connected to? Number one, because Jesus sent us all over the world. Now, if Jesus had just sent me to my house, I think I might not necessarily need your help. If Jesus had just sent me to my family, I might need maybe one or two people or one book or two books, but I might not necessarily need your help. But look at where Jesus sent us. Jesus says in the book of Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world. That's the assignment. Go into all the world. All the world. All the world. All the world. If I'm going to go into all the world, I'm going to need all the help I can find. the world by myself. To go into all the world, we need all the help. All the world, all the help. All the world, all the help. Now, it's explained why so many ministries never fulfill this. Because people withhold all the help. No matter how good the intentions of the visionary are, if people are not willing to run, the vision will not go far. I hope you realize that it's when you start that the things start going. It's when you run, not even when you walk, when you run. When you run, then it starts going in many places. It's when you run. Running means you are really involved. You are ready. You are energized. You are part of it. Because you can be walking, but you are not interested. But when you are running, you are really interested. If somebody is ahead of you, you're trying to reach them, and you are walking, chances of reaching them, you may never, except if they are too slow. But when you start running, it shows that you are determined to reach them. So that's why Paul didn't say, I walk the good walk. He said, I ran the race. He was involved, highly involved in the work. Highly involved. Highly involved. So Jesus is sending us to all the world. So we need all the help, including your help. When you withhold your help, you are handicapping us from fulfilling this assignment. Number two, because Jesus has asked us to preach to every creature. Every creature. Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Do you know what that means? 7 billion people on earth. How many are we in South Africa? A lot of us, millions of us. And as far as God is concerned, every creature must hear the gospel. Now, if every creature must hear the gospel, every help will be needed for the gospel to be heard. Every help will be needed. No matter how small the help is, if every creature must hear the gospel, every help will be needed for the gospel to be heard. Every help will be needed. The help of your voice, the help of your phone, the help of your tithe, the help of your offering, the help of your presence, the help of your car, the help of everything, every help will be needed. If this is to be fulfilled. This cannot be done by one person. Why is your help needed at ABC? Because we are sent to witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. The less they help, the less they reach. The less they help, the less they reach. Some ministries have died in Jerusalem. They can't even think of going to Judea. Not to mention Samaria. Not to mention the uttermost part of it. This is connected to how much help is made available. Don't make a mistake about this. The less they help. If we didn't have a bit of help, by God first of all, and by a few willing people, this church was going to remain at Sun City. Probably was going to be closed down by now. And I just wonder this morning, by the grace of God, how far we could be now if more people, if more of us were willing to help. If more of us understood that this is our work, all of us, this is our work. We are not here to be served. We are all here to serve. The Bible says that you are not important because you sit at the table. Jesus said the important person is the one that is serving. The important person is the one that is serving. The one that is serving. This ministry is supposed to go to the ends of the world. And it will only be possible with your help. With your help. Today, a couple of people are able to hear the gospel in Pretoria. Because one of my sons here has chosen to help in preaching there. He could have gone there like others and said, no, I'm not here for this. I'm here to study. And we hold the help. This was never going to reach Pretoria. And the souls that have been saved in Pretoria so far were never going to be saved. My daughter in Val is preaching to about 15 to 19 people every week. She could have withheld her help. We're never going to be where we are today. Appearing on your screen are the picture of her services. Look at the people. This is a young girl from here who has gone to Val. And this is what is happening to her ministry. Because she has not withheld her help. She's alone there, but Jesus is with her. And she has said, no, because I'm here, let the voice of ABC also reach here. If Sun City or the Lydak area is at Jerusalem, I'm sure you will believe with me that Val cannot be Jerusalem again. And I haven't been at Val. I don't even know where it is. But my voice is heard there every week. Because somebody chose to not withhold their help. May God bless these, my children. Number four, because Jesus himself, the reason why we need your help at ABC, because Jesus himself acknowledged that more hands are required for this work. Even Jesus looked at the thing and he said, you know what? We need more people. Matthew 9:37, then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The problem is not the harvest. The problem is workers. Help us. They are few. If Jesus is acknowledging that workers are few, helpers are few, don't you think it is implying that your help is needed? Don't you think so? Can you really tell me that you are hearing your Savior saying, helpers are few, workers are few, and you are saying, well, Jesus, I think you better find some new people to help in this. I don't see how that involves me. That's why he will say to people in heaven, I was hungry, you never fed me. I was thirsty, you never gave me water. He said, yes. You saw help needed, but you withheld your own. That is changing from this morning. From this morning, every ABC member, you are receiving the grace of antilepsis. You are helping. You are helping in the name of Jesus. Quickly as we close, because whenever God calls a man, he surrounds that person with helpers to assist him with the work. Because without those helpers, the work God has given the man might never be realized. And those people are supposed to be around the visionary to assist, support, aid. Wherever there are things not working, you see, there are three levels you can help. You can help your pastor with something he cannot do. Number two, you can help your pastor with something he can do, but you can feel that if he's still the one doing this, then we can never move forward. And number three, you can help your pastor with what he's currently doing. Like he's doing it and you're also doing it with him. So number one, you can help him with something he cannot do. He doesn't have what it takes to do it. That's why God sent you to do it. That's why God is showing it to you. Not so that you can criticize him. He cannot even see it himself. That's why God sent you. You have the capacity to do it. That's why God has sent you. Number two, your pastor might have the capacity to do it, but doing it will stop him from doing other things. So when you come and start relieving him in that area, he can focus on other areas. So he can start moving. There are a lot of things your shepherd could do, but he's still running around with the basics. Because people are not helping. And that paralyzes progress. Number three, you can be exactly where he is, doing it at the same level with him. Not because you are like him, but because he wants you to learn. He's lifting you so that you can learn. Not so that you can become proud. That's the topic for another day. So Moses in Exodus 6 verse 30, the Bible says, but Moses argued with the Lord, saying, I can't do this. I'm such a clumsy speaker. Why should Pharaoh listen to me? What was the help that God sent to Moses? Exodus 4 verse 16. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece. And you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. So, okay, Moses, actually, you don't know how to speak. I'm going to send help. Aaron will speak. You see how God solved the problem? Moses is supposed to speak, but he can't speak. But he's the one God called. So God sent Aaron to come along. And Aaron will be the one to speak, to help Moses. Then again, in Numbers 11 verse 14, Moses says, I cannot carry all these people by myself. Their burden is too heavy for me. God brings a solution. Numbers 11, 16 and 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meetings that I may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. Then they will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. Clap for God. Moses says, it's too much. I can't carry it alone. God doesn't say, you are disappointing me. I thought you were going to be able to do this by yourself. Moses said, no. God said, no, I understand. Find 70 people. I'll bring help. Maybe your presence in that church is because your pastor has been crying. Your shepherd has been crying. Now God has sent you as a response to the cry of your pastor every night. God sent an elder. Now the elder is there. The elder doesn't understand. God sent you to become that one of the 70 elders that are supposed to help Moses with the burden of the people. And you are saying, no, it's not my job. I'm not here for this. I'm here to be blessed. I'm here to receive. Receive! Paul says, even the Lord Jesus Christ says, is greater to give than to receive. Don't you know that verse? Examples of people God sent and sent help. Number one, Adam. God gave him an assignment. God sent Eve to help him. He even says, she will be your helper, suitable for you. A helper. The Bible says the woman was created for the man. So the purpose of Eve was her whole purpose was to help Adam. You would be surprised that if that pastor was not in that area, you would not even be in the church yourself. Like, your presence in the church is because the pastor was sent and the pastor needed help. And God looked at you and said, you will be able to help him. That's why you are in the church. That's why you are saved. That's why you are going to heaven. Because another man has an assignment, and through his assignment, you are finding your purpose. You are finding your purpose. A lot of you are supposed to be sleeping in taverns by now. If it wasn't that God created a man and gave him a vision, and through that vision, you are finding something to help with. That's the only purpose of Eve in the garden. I mean, tell me, what will Eve be doing in the garden if there's no garden to tend up by Adam? God called Moses and gave him many helpers. Number one, Aaron. Two, Hur, the two people that were lifting his hands. Number three, Jethro, his father-in-law, helping with the formula of cells. Bezahalel, when he was building the tabernacle, God sent Bezahalel and Aholiab. Those two, the Bible says God filled them with the spirit of wisdom into craft things. They knew what to do. Moses had never built a tabernacle before. He needed help. Joshua, who took over from him, was sent to help him as his commander in the fights. Then the 70 elders and many others. Each one of them was sent at a specific time to help Moses take the people of Israel into the promised land. Please don't miss your place. God called Saul, the first king of Israel, and sent him helpers. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 10:26, Saul went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God had touched. Whose heart God had touched. God had touched the hearts of these men. And then Saul was able to go with them. Later, God sent him David. God called David and God gave him many helpers. Jonathan helped him. Abishai helped him. Joab helped him. Nathan helped him. His very son Solomon took over from him. That was help. The mighty men of David, they were all helpers. And all their job was to assist the man God has called. God called Elijah and gave him a helper in the person of Elisha. Then God called Elisha and gave him many helpers. Gehazi was one of them, and the sons of the prophets that kept following him and Elisha, they were all helpers. Just that some didn't do their job. God called John the Baptist and gave him helpers. One of his helpers was Andrew. Andrew that called his brother Peter. Later they went and joined Jesus. Then God called Jesus and gave him a lot of helpers. You would think to yourself, I mean, this is God. So, I think he sorted. I mean, that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case. First of all, God gave him the 12. First of all, God gave him 1, then 2, then 3, then 12. Then he had 70, then 72, then 120. Different helpers. Different helpers. Jesus himself says it in John 18:9. He did this to fulfill his own statement. I did not lose a single one of those you have given me. So Jesus acknowledged the people he had were given him by God. God is the one who gave him Peter. God is the one who gave him John. God is the one who gave him Bartimaeus. All of them were given to him by God. He said, the ones you've given me, you've given them to me. Why? To help. To help. Make the people sit down. How many are they? Count. You are helping. Go get the food in the city. You are helping. Okay, go 2 by 2 and tell the people that the kingdom of God has come. You are helping. Count how many baskets are there. 12. You are helping. God gave him these people, and these people were helping him. Someone of Cyrene helped him carry the cross. It gets more interesting. The book of Luke 8, but 1 to 3, we are almost at the end. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him. Those are his helpers. They were with him. And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits. These are people that receive healing, blessings from the ministry of Jesus. But what did they do after receiving that ministry? They just sat down and started watching? No. After receiving healing from evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Johanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others, these women were helping to support them out of their own means. These women were helping. Were helping. Were helping to support. Wow. That is the helps ministry properly defined. Helping to support. With their money. With their money. I guess of all of them, Paul was the most helped here. Paul had Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Priscilla, Aquila, Onesiphorus, Epaphras, Stephanus. I mean, the list is endless. In Romans 16, verse 3 to 4, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say, who have for my life laid down their own necks. A husband and a wife that God touched and they chose to come and support the ministry of an apostle. I'm always blessed when God gives me couples. Husband and wife helping me in the calling of God for my life. Husband and wife. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and Priscilla, my helpers, my helpers, my helpers, my helpers in the ministry. Are you listening to me? May you be found among those that are helpers. May you be found among them. Now, it is important to know that the helpers are as important to the fulfillment of the assignment as the visionary himself. Meaning, if the visionary doesn't have the helpers, the vision will not be fulfilled. Or to the extent in which it could be fulfilled. That's why Satan finds the helpers. How did Satan destroy the vision of Adam? He fought the helper. He didn't fight Adam. He didn't even touch Adam. He fought the help that was sent to Adam. And the vision was stopped. Do you know how many visions are stopped in the churches? How many local churches cannot grow? Because the helpers are contaminated by the snake. And as soon as they are contaminated, people, the vision is jeopardized. Because it takes a long time to make Eve. So somebody has to fall asleep. A rib must be taken out. Such a process. You can't start it again every single minute. I mean, then the guy will have no ribs left. If we have to now go back, he must fall asleep again. And then we must start another rib. My God. Please, when you become a helper, understand what your job is. And stay true to your job. Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They without us should not be made perfect. What does that mean? There are some people that if they are not with you, your thing will not be perfect. They without us will not be made perfect. So your helper without you is paralyzed. You without your helper, you are also paralyzed. Look at the same verse in another version. God had something better in mind for us, so that they will not reach perfection without us. They will not reach perfection without us. Brothers and sisters, Allah Bible Church cannot reach perfection without your help. The same way you cannot reach your perfection without a Allah Bible Church. If you like, go to another church just like that. You will see. Except if God will send you there. You'll be surprised. They without us will not be made perfect. And us without them will not be made perfect. We are intertwined. We are intertwined. That's why I keep saying this is a marital commitment. You are not here for a minute. You must consider I'm here for a lifetime. I will be here until I'm perfected and until the vision is perfected. What does it mean to perfect the vision? Like to get to the real thing God wanted from the very beginning. You might not, you don't look at A, B, C, and think this is the perfection. No. We are still far from it. But as we bring our help, we start reaching that perfection. And one day we'll look at finally what God saw when he called us. Say, wow. So Lord, this is what you had in mind all along. But how did we reach here? With the help of everybody. The help of everybody. God has called Pastor Pascal. And God has given him a vision. But that vision will not be fulfilled unless you and I bring in a little help, a little contribution. You might never understand what you are doing at the level you are doing it because you're not the one standing here. I'm the one standing here. It is Moses that is holding the rod and stretching it on the Red Sea. You don't see Joshua. You don't see Ur. You don't see Jethro. But they are all part of those people reaching the promised land. You have a role to play. Don't minimize what God has given you to do. God will not judge you based on what he has given me to do. God will judge you based on what he gave you to do as part of your help to the vision. Be faithful with the little he has given you to do. Do it your best so God can promote you to a greater help. Who knows? Today you are Joshua. Tomorrow you become the leader. Based on your faithfulness. Because nobody is here forever. Nobody is here forever. I pray for you today.
like Uzziah. The Bible says Uzziah was marvelously helped. I pray that wherever God places you to help, you will not help grudgingly, complainingly, but marvelously. You will help with the right attitude, with the right heart, so that the whole thing will reach perfection. The whole thing. The thing is not about Pastor Pascal. It's about the vision reaching the perfection. And what is the perfection? The ends of the earth. What is perfection? The gospel preached to all creatures that are assigned to ABC. That's our perfection. Our perfection is not Pastor Pascal being the greatest star in the world. That's not what we're after. Please do your job part, your part well. Play your role well. Help well. Help marvelously. As we close this morning, that's my message for you. May God use you to help at any capacity that God will lift you to help from. May you never fail your test. May you help marvelously in the name of Jesus. Well, we thank God. I want you to stand on your feet now and to start praying for the helper. The Bible says in John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. The helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you. If he is a helper and he has to teach you, what do you think he's going to teach you to do? He's going to teach you to help. That is the first thing he's going to teach you to do. Because he's a helper and he has to teach you. Please allow him to teach you to help. Have you ever seen the Holy Ghost? You don't need to see him. He's not trying to take the stage. He's not trying to be in front. He's helping from behind. But he's the reason why everything is working. This is where many women missed it. You are called a helper, not so that you can be on the forefront. It's a wrong place to help when you are on the forefront. How can you help on the forefront? How will you even see what is going on? The Holy Ghost has never had a problem being on the behind the scenes, helping from behind. Many of us are shining a bit because he's helping. And he doesn't mind because he knows how, we know ourselves how we depend on him. When you have a real helper who understands their job, sometimes they become more important than the leader himself. Not sometimes, all the time. The Holy Ghost is more important in this ministry than me. And you've never seen him. A real helper doesn't need to be seen to be important. No. 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 Invisible, yet indispensable. May you locate your place. And may you help with all your heart. Open your mouth and begin to pray for the grace. Holy Ghost, help us to help. You are the helper. You are the helper. Help me to help at any capacity, at any level where you have called me to help. Holy Ghost, help me to help well. Help me to help marvelously. Help me to give my best, to not help grudgingly, to not try to be on the forefront. Because you being the helper, that's not what you are trying to do. You are always trying to help those that have been given assignments to do. Oh, Magalama Zebre Garabaraba. Father, help me to help. You are the helper. Come on, pray that prayer this morning from the bottom of your heart. Help me to help. Help me to help. Help me to help. In the name of Jesus. May I do it with all my heart. May I do it without grudges. May I do it without complaints. Help me to help marvelously. Help me to help marvelously. Help me to find my place. To not be criticizing, but to help marvelously. Oh, Holy Ghost. And thank you for helping me this morning to preach this message. You have helped me a lot. That's why I was able to preach it. Father, continue helping. Father, continue helping. Help us understand it. Help us understand it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Father, we thank you for this series.
I believe it has brought to life many ministries. Many people in the years to come will refer to this series as the series that led to their calling. This is where they discover God could use them. This is the one of the seeds that were sown towards them becoming ministers tomorrow. Father, may you use the words of this series to create many ministers, to raise many pastors, many apostles, many prophets, many evangelists, many helpers to help in the harvest field. Father, thank you for leading us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for causing us to have the curse that comes with materialism and to focus on what you created the church for. Oh yes, Jesus. Thank you that the curse is being averted. As we focus on what you created us for, you will do the rest. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things that others are dying for to get will be added to you. Thank you, Father. This morning, I want you to pray for somebody who wants to put Jesus first, the kingdom first, God first. You are saying, I want to surrender my life to Christ. I want Jesus to become my Lord and my Savior. Please, I want to pray for you. Coming to church and the church being in you and being in Christ are two different things. You can be in the church and not be in Christ. Are you in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Whoever is in Christ, not in the church, in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. At the count of three, Pastor, I want to be in Christ. Not just in the church, but in Christ. That's the right location for deliverance. Raise your hand at the count of three. I pray with you. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of you. Now, you are already in Christ, but you keep falling like the prodigal son. You are not in the house of your father all the time. From time to time, you jump out and you go far away. And your life is being spoiled. Why don't you do like him this morning? I will return to my father. I will return to my father. The Bible says, I will never throw away from me those who come. No matter what you've done, this is not the dispensation of judgment. This is the dispensation of grace. God is saving the world at the moment. So if you want salvation, you can be saved. Pastor, I want you to commit my heart to Jesus. I want you to be a strong Christian. I want my Christianity to be stronger. At the count of three, please raise your right hand. I pray with you. 1, 2, 3. Raise it up. God bless you. God bless you. Let's pray together this morning from the bottom of our heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my heart to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.